Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, and today we are offering you a Billy Brim classic, one that was made years ago in my ministry. I trust it'll bless you.
And we work with a lot of these people, pray with a lot of these people, bless the Lord, in this European Union revived. Now, this throne of the beast, this image, we'll talk about it, and we did see where this image. I want to get back to this image. So John Rood, Liliana, and I have gone around. Maybe you've heard some of our tapes about the Palais de Justice, the weird things that are going. Folks, sometimes I think, well, people think she's nuts. I cannot tell you of the weirdness that's going on in Europe. It is so weird, it's unbelievable. One of the weird things is this book, The Da Vinci Code. Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
I've known about this Da Vinci Code business for years and years and years. I've known what this big mystery was, where it came from, what's the roots of it, but I thought only a few people on this earth simply could believe such a lie. But now, that's been the number one selling book for years. And when you're in Europe right now, that book is for sale at every bookstore. Then they have books about that book. And now they have tours. You can go to all the places of this Da Vinci Code business. The book's named The Da Vinci Code. It's actually something quite another lie. And the other lie that it's all about is this, that Jesus Christ had a girlfriend. And her name was Mary Magdalene. And that they had a child, and that she escaped and came to the shores of France. And then that child grew up in France, and then there have, in Europe, and then there have been progeny, there have been children born, and perhaps they'll rise up and rule the world again. Now, I thought a few crackpots know about this. And I've been kind of watching it, you know, that movie, The Temptation of Christ. It was about that. And this book and the Templars and all these things, I thought, well, I read these things. I knew these things. I know this craziness is going on, but that's just something way over there in the background. Now it's coming to the fore, and they tell me they're even going to make a movie about it in America. Don't go to the movie. Don't read the book, because I read the book because I knew what it was about, and I wanted to see why is this thing number one bestseller for 3 years. And in it, right away, it starts planting the doubt that what we've seen in the Bible is truth. And in fact, it puts into people's minds that what really is the truth is this other business. Now, I didn't see this man who wrote the book on television, but Pastor Larry saw him. And am I quoting you correctly that he said when he began writing the book, he did it to disprove that old conspiratorial lie and ever, but that now he's a believer in this old story about Mary Magdalene and the baby and all this. So now he's a believer in it. And supposedly Da Vinci was, and there's a lot of other people, but yuck. That's just to say it's really weird in Europe. And one reason why it's so weird in Europe is they've gotten too smart for God and for the Bible. Remember that poll said, and the pollster said, we cannot understand a president who prays. We are frightened of a nation who has these evangelical preachers on TV. We're frightened of it. We don't understand you. It's the biggest gulf between us. And so they have had a void for years now of the knowledge of the truth. The churches in Europe are like museums. Less than 1/2 of 1% of the people who live in Brussels claim to be born again. less than one half of 1%, claim to be evangelical Christians. The highest number of any country in Europe is England, and England, I think, has something like 3%. But the churches in England are virtually vacant as well, except for a group called the Black Pentecostals. And Black Pentecostals have come to London from Nigeria, from all the countries that we have gone and sent missionaries to, and now they've come back to England and they've got some fire going. I was called to preach in one of those churches, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about what happened there in London, but I want to speak to you first about, well, I will speak to you first about London, and then I'll go, I'll go back to this. The image. John Rood called me one day, the pastor in Brussels. He says, he was beside himself. He couldn't even speak. He said, Billy, you know all these things that we've been hunting around to find these traces about the Antichrist? They've got a big display over here, and we don't even have to hunt anymore. They're coming out openly with it. And he told me about a big, huge tent that they had put up right in front of the main government building of the European Union. The people with the power in the European Union are the commission, the commissioners. The commissioners are not elected, but they are the powerful ones. It's nothing democratic at all about the European Union. And in an X-shaped building, there's a square in front of it, a plaza called Schuman Square. And on that plaza, they put up a big tent and an exhibition. And he said, Billy, you've got to come over here. They're going to leave it until the 28th of November, and you've got to come and see it. So I went over there after our prayer meeting. I went over to see it. It's like a huge, colorful tent. You walk in the door, and the name of the whole display is called The Image of Europe. The Image of Europe. Now, this is something that you can pick up there at The Image of Europe as you're coming in the door. And this is a passport. I think I'll start one down here, Loretta, and you can just start it going down. I want you to know that I'm not making this up. And as you have this passport to Europe, it's entitled The Image of Europe. This passport is part of The Image of Europe, an exhibition held in Brussels, conceptualized by AMO and the Foreign Policy Center, under the joint sponsorship of the Dutch Presidency and the European Commission to mark the Dutch Presidency of the European Union. Now, they say that their purpose is they don't have icons, and they need icons. So through art and an art exhibition, they're going to bring forth iconography, they call it, which you can just look at, and you know that this is Europe. Now, the European nations have their own flags, but what they have proposed to do, and this is not policy, but this is what they've proposed to do, is take those flags and all of their colors and make a flag like this, which is rather like a barcode. And then they show you here that this could be placed in the back of a neck. They're very big into saving you from being lost and no one ever finds you. They could put a little chip in you. And even a barcode that could be read under a scanner. Now I'm going to read you from this page right here. This is the back page. You hold that back page because I want them to know that I'm not making this up. Turn over to the very back, inside back cover. And whoever's got it over here, turn to the inside back cover because I want witnesses that I'm telling you the truth. Now it says here, in 3,000 years, Europe has given us democracy and fascism. Not surprisingly, over the past 50 years, it has been trying to reinvent itself. Instead of accepting its complex history as an alibi to excuse more turmoil and tragedy, it decided to reverse history. After World War II, visionary politicians created a new structure with new codes of behavior for the entire continent in a series of highly improvised steps and arrangements. Now, this paragraph is unbelievable unless you read it with your own eyes. Because the operation of the European Union revived, which they believe is the old Roman Empire revived and won it. Now I'm quoting you. I'm reading this. Because the operation was so radical, it could only take place by stealth. S-T-E-A-L-T-H, stealth. That means they secretly moved around and did things. And everybody of Europe tells us that. We don't know how this happened to us. But suddenly, we don't have our money anymore. Suddenly this happened. Suddenly that happened. As it all becomes one under these multiple heads. Because the operation was so radical, it could only take place by stealth. For the initial part of the EU's existence, its ulterior motives could never be openly stated. Which of us would print a bulletin, like here at the church? Because our plan for the lighthouse, we had to operate by stealth. Because our motives were ulterior. Who could believe it? But they say it. Because the operation was so radical, this Europe, new Europe they've got, it could only take place by stealth. For the initial part of the EU's existence, its ulterior motives could never be openly stated. Because of the complexity of the operation, the treatises and blueprints that defined the new Europe were hard to communicate. They are hard, very hard to communicate. When you walk into this exhibition, you see a pedestal that's at least three times longer than this, and it has pages, real pages, thousands and thousands and thousands of them, that a nation has to agree to become a part of the European Union. Nobody could read them all. And you see it right away. It's complicated. Because of the complexity of the operation, the treatises and blueprints that defined the new Europe were hard to communicate. For the average European, the EU is now a parallel universe. And in Brussels, they very much believe there's a parallel universe. There is an obscure city up over Brussels, which is a type of the New Jerusalem. And they believe in this. I know you couldn't think that they believe in it, but they believe in it. Many of them do. Now, we'll go down to the next, the last paragraph. The EU perplexes more than inspires. That's true. Yet at 50, the EU has accomplished Schengen, the Euro, prosperity, and lasting peace. They've already got lasting peace. Isn't that great? Now, this exhibition celebrates an end to its inhibited iconography. It's coming out. From now on, EU will be bold, explicit, and popular. Now, did I read the right words there? So they say, now we're coming out. Where have you heard that word, coming out, before? When you walk into the tent, and this whole thing is named, did you notice back here that it's called the image of Europe, this whole display? When you walk in to the image of Europe, I'm going to show you some pictures from it. They're a little bit dark, but the whole place is dark. When you walk right in the door, you come to a round table, number 491, if you'll show that. And there on that round table, if I can point out some of the things that you're seeing, the walls round about it are all art iconography, as they say it. And I'll tell you what the art says in a minute. But in the middle of the room sits a round table and seats. These seats represent the commission.
Shalom, this is Billy Brim. I hope you enjoyed the classic that you heard today. Call us at 1-800-972-3447 if you would like to have a copy of it on CD. Shalom, shalom.